Star Wars 7x7 episode 3585. So this is weird, right? Empire magazine came out with a June 2024 issue with an Acolyte cover story, and now Total Film is coming out with a May 2024 issue. It's not a cover story about the Acolyte, but there is a six-page situation in there, and we're going to talk about what's new and interesting in there. Punch it. Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy, and thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you especially to the patrons who help make this possible every single day with their support at patreon.com/SW7X7. So Total Magazine came out with their May 2024 issue just a few days ago, and I guess they're, I don't know how they decide that that's the month versus, say, Empire Magazine coming out with the June 2024 issue a couple of weeks earlier. But yeah, that's just, you know, an odd digression. But the point is, Total Film Magazine came out with a story on the Acolyte, a six-page thing, which is really four pages plus a two-page spread. And actually, that like two-page spread of a photo featuring Lee Jung Jae, hopefully that's close to the pronunciation, and Charlie Bennett in their Jedi robes, that's the only new photo that's in there. But there is some new information, and a lot of it comes from interviews with the cast. And I won't bury the lead. I think the most interesting thing to come out of this article comes from Charlie Bennett talking about his character Yord Fandar. So he talks about lightsaber colors, and he says, I have a yellow lightsaber. He said he really wanted a purple one, and obviously he doesn't get that because Vernestra Rowe has the purple one, which is also a lightsaber whip, and that's a whole other thing. But he goes on to say that he did have another lightsaber color originally, but then he couldn't use it because it was attached to another character, and he couldn't say, and he makes a point of saying, I can't say what color that was or what other character this is attributed to. Now, we've seen in the trailer various shades of blue and green and yellow getting waved around, and we know Vernestra's purple one will get waved around at some point. We also, of course, saw a red Sith lightsaber, and perhaps that's the one that Charlie Bennett is talking about, but it seems a little bit unlikely that he would have been given that lightsaber initially. So let's just, for the sake of argument, say that it's probably not red. In current canon storytelling, there's only three other options that it could be. One of them is sort of the orangish red that we see Baylan Skoll using in the Ahsoka series, for example. And then there's the darksaber, which is kicking around at this time, although it should be in the hands of the Mandalorians at this point in the timeline. And then there are white lightsabers, which ought to be created by healing a kyber crystal that has been bled by a Sith and turned red. But that may not be the only way you can get a white lightsaber crystal. There may be other ways, and a couple of High Republic characters have had white lightsabers, although we've been told that Vernestra Rowe is the only current High Republic character that's appearing in the Acolyte, and also the two particular characters I'm thinking of in the High Republic who had white lightsabers died during phase one storytelling, and I don't think their lightsabers were recovered. Jorah Mauley was one of them, and Jorah was killed at the Battle of the Kerr Nebula about two-thirds of the way through Light of the Jedi, and then Orla Jireny was killed when Starlight Beacon fell at the end of phase one. Actually, she was killed by one of the Nameless on Starlight Beacon while that assault was happening, and then, you know, when Starlight Beacon crashed, her lightsaber is presumably lost in the ocean. So yeah, I don't think either of those white lightsabers are available, which means that, yeah, somebody else made one maybe. Point is, even in the High Republic time that we are visiting in the Acolyte, it's not unheard of to have a white lightsaber, so that's another option as well. There's also an interesting quote from Leslie Headland where she talks about how people who can use the Force can do it maybe not just because they are, you know, imbued with telekinetic powers basically, but that they can do it because they are in balance in some fashion. There's no light without the darkness, as she points out, no good without the bad. You know, you can think about it like yin and yang, right? Where the seed of one lies in the other. But she ends that by saying that if you're unbalanced, then the Force can't protect you. And I found that to be a really interesting statement when paired along with something that Amanda Stenberg says about the character Mei's interaction with Mei's old master, Sol. That's Lee Jung Jae's character. And Amandala says that Mei forces Master Sol to fix a lot of things about himself that he's been avoiding. Now, of course, we have no idea what that might mean or be referring to, but it certainly suggests that Master Sol is unbalanced after a fashion, and that is going to cause some danger for him. Stenberg also says that the character Mei has to make a lot of emotional progress during the series, and it's an interesting journey. Rebecca Henderson, who plays Vernestra Rose, says that the character thinks she's seen it all, and that certainly does suggest that she's going to see something that she's never seen before, which is a big deal. And we also hear the bit about power and who's allowed to wield it. Like, that sentiment is expressed in the interview, that they're going to be talking about who has power, who is able to control it, and who makes the rules about it. This seems to be in reference to the Force in some fashion, and it does put one in mind of what happened in Phase 2 of Star Wars High Republic storytelling, where the Path of the Open Hand was like, the Force must be free, and said that nobody who actually had Force powers should ever be using them because of the effects that it might have across the galaxy. The Jedi obviously don't believe that, but there are a lot of different ways of thinking about the Force, and this makes it sound like there are going to be some conflicts between the way the Jedi think about it and the way other people think about it, probably including Jodie Turner-Smith, who plays that very powerful Force witch that we are seeing in previews. And I want to pair that with an idea that Leslie Headland says about wanting to explore the idea of how do villains come to think that they are right. And that's a really interesting distinction, because there's kind of a difference between villains just doing what they want to do and not really caring whether it's right, having an idea of the, you know, actual just cause of their actions. Most people who are villains, as we know them, aren't really thinking about that sort of thing. But in some cases, some people who are acting like villains are actually thinking that they are on the right side of history, which is, you know, a really tough thing to wrap your head around, but this is what they're going to kind of explore potentially in The Acolyte. And as they do that, there's a suggestion from Manny Jacinto that we are going to be able to have a more interesting bit of self-reflection, as it were, about whether we as audience members resonate with the light side or the dark side of the Force. So yeah, those are the things that I wanted to highlight about the story of The Acolyte that I thought were particularly fascinating from the Total Film Magazine story. And on tomorrow's episode, we'll talk about some of the behind the scenes stuff that I also thought was particularly interesting and wanted to share with you. So let me know what you think of all of this. Like, if you're catching this on YouTube, comments are right there. Spotify, the Q&A is over there. And if you're hearing it anywhere else, then head over to the blog post for the show's episode at sw7x7.com and drop a comment on there. And that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoy the show, please leave a rating or review. Hit a subscribe or a like or a follow or a join button. Tell your friends, whether in person or online. And please do consider, if you value independent creators doing stuff like this, and I've been doing this for nearly 10 years on a daily basis, I hope you'll consider checking out patreon.com/sw7x7 to help support this work. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be. 7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.